Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Change it, yeah. Can't do it alone. Need some help, y'all. Can't do it alone. Yeah.
That's right. We can't do it alone. Let's wake up everybody. We welcome you to this week of MPH Radio on the 30th day of October 2021. We will bring you signs of the times. We discuss this theme along with some of the current events that are taking place in air in your world. We invite you to call in at 818-337-0016 and share any current events of your choice. For right now, we will start our program and share with you the order for today's radio show, which will include giving you something to think about. What is freedom? Followed by MPH Black Mini Facts with Susie of MPH. Then we will have a message to the community with Alice Joyner. Then we will have an open portion of this program just for you by asking you to call in at 818-337-0016 and have a dialogue with us on two articles for this week, which are one, anti-white bias in the classroom, and two, from Weekly Roundup on October 23rd, titled Citizens in Advanced Economies Want Significant Changes to their political system, and black adults in the U.S. South more likely than those in other regions to attend a black congressional church congregation, a black congregation. Followed by ads and your current events for this week. And of course, at last, we will always ask you to come and join to support MPH. For now, we are giving you the order for today's program. Let's get started by giving you something to think about. And we're going to talk about what is freedom. When we talk about what is freedom, you know, freedom is a concept that man and woman have been fighting over for hundreds and thousands of years. Many have died and many will continue to die over this concept. So we just want to give you something to think about in the context of what is freedom, based upon some other historical figures who have given their perspective on this issue of what freedom is. We start off with Rosa Parks, who once stated, "I have learned over the years that when one man is made up, this diminishes fear. I have learned over the years that when one's mind is made up, this diminishes fear." That was Rosa Parks' concept of freedom. How does it jive with yours? Let's look at Muhammad Ali, who stated, "He who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life." That's right. That's Muhammad Ali. He stated, "He who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life." And the last concept of what is freedom for today is from Nelson Mandela. He stated, "For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others." Let me repeat that one more time. For Nelson Mandela, he defined freedom in the concept of, "For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others." What do y'all think about these concepts of freedom by Rosa Parks, Muhammad Ali, and Nelson Mandela? How can you apply these concepts in your daily life? So we are giving you something to think about as it relates to freedom. What we're going to do, we're going to take a quick station break for music with a message. And when we come back, Susan will share with you some black mini facts. So make sure you get out your pen and pencils. We'll be back. You'll listen to MPH Radio.
Take away. teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. It's unfair if I succeed. At least I live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because of faith, love of all.
To welcome you back to MPH Radio. That's right. Love is the greatest gift of all. Not only when you love yourself, but also love your people, love your community, and most of all, love humanity. We're going to continue to teach our children by bringing you Susie, or MPH Minifacts. She can share with you some historical events and dates that is of significance to our people's contribution to civilization and world history. So right now, Susie, we hope everybody have been given enough time to get their pen and pencil and they begin to use it by right now learning some Black Minifacts from Susie on MPH Radio. We now bring in Susie, and we would like to welcome you to MPH Radio. Welcome, Susie.
Good evening, listeners. Today I'll be giving you the Black Minifacts from the PRSP October calendar of 2021. And first we'll start with the 24th, where we had the October Revolution created socialist state in USSR in 1917. And also we had Lucy Laney, African educator and womanist, who died in 1933. And Rosa Parks died in 2005. For the 25th, we had the U.S. and Caribbean puppets invade Grenada in 1983. Also on that date, racist South Africa conducted first nuclear test explosion in 1979. On the 26th, racist South Africa declared tense he got the first independent Bantusan in 1976. On the 27th, Ruby Davis, actress and activist, was born in 1922. And also on the 27th, UN terminated defined South African mandate over Namibia in 1966. On the 28th, Levi Coffin, African organizer of the Underground Radio, was born in 1798. And on the 29th, Jay Standard, African inventor, patented the oil stove in 1889. And the last and final minute fact for the week of the 24th through the 30th, Britain, France, and Israel invaded Egypt to try to overthrow Nasser government in 1956. There, I've given you the week's worth of Black Mini Facts for October 30th, 2021.
Susan, we'd like to thank you for your Black Mini Facts, and we'd like to remind our communities that you must remember your history is a very, very powerful past. We know what you have done before, you can do again. So we thank you for those historical facts. Right now, we'll make our transition to Alex Joyner. He's going to give a special message to the community. So we bring in Mr. Joyner, and he's going to give you his special message to the community. Alex, welcome to MPH Radio.
Welcome, Mr. Lee, and all the listeners and callers today to a very informative show. I thank the staff of Missing Pages in History, Susie, and Mr. Robinson for bringing us to this knowledge that uncovers history that most of us have never learned in our former education system. This very history is being threatened more by some who do not want it taught in the school system. Others are trying to rewrite it as if our history did not exist. A couple of months ago, I had a chance to talk about good people like our radio host and his sister, whom are dedicated to bringing our community local, state, U.S., and international news updates and historical facts. Yes, good people who have made a difference in our lives. One of those good people was talked about all over the world this week for the good deeds he done while he lived. Former president and many world leaders spoke fond memories and gave their utmost respect for a man who led by example. One comment was made that the world needs more Colin Powells. I found out that different members of my family had interactions with him since he was a child until he was the first African-American Secretary of State, a title he wore well. The world paid acknowledgement to a man who served his soldiers on the battlefield and his countrymen well. So I ask you to listen with pride, honor, and sympathy this, as it is a tribute, especially for his dear wife, Alma, and his children. As I give you this tribute for a well-deserved good person, General Colin Luther Powell. General Luther Colin Powell is in God's army now. I cannot recall how many times I've heard the phrase that a person fought the good fight in his life. 2 Timothy 4th chapter, 7th through the 10th verse. I have fought the good fight, finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid upon me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing, to reject erroneous ways of conceit and hateful living, and to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness in a commitment of joy rather than lustfulness, greed, and self-conceited attitude of being a god themselves. Generals earn the title We cannot bestow the accolades on them. The famed generals of war, such as Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Ulysses S. Grant, George S. Patton, Hannibal, Overture, Benjamin O. Davis Sr., Thomas Alexander Dumas, and many others lay in the garden of eternal peace and salvation. To fight for the country and not to self-proclaim king made these men great. To put the people's rights first and not political views front and center. These men led forces of men who gave their lives for a better world to live in without prejudice or fear, to put on the uniform and take the sword of the battle to fight often meant a last chance to say goodbye to friends and family. War is hell. It is the worst of a living human experience. To kill or be killed is a simple battle fact. We should never say we are willing to fight to go to war without a clear intention of surviving the conflict. Choosing our battles on other platforms should be sought as General Colin Powell did. He personally knew the survivability of war as he was wounded twice in South Vietnam. He displayed great courage and instinct during the conflict and decided to continue his military career. Born on April 5th, 1937, to Jamaican immigrants, this humble boy from a rundown neighborhood in the South Bronx of New York would become one of the most beloved American generals of all time. General Powell was his most liked title, though we will remember him as an American statesman, an engaging diplomat, a retired four-star general, United States National Security Advisor, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the first African-American Secretary of State. He served under and was an advisor to many United States presidents. He never let politics get in the way of serving his country or the soldiers and citizens who entrusted their lives to his advice. General Powell was well respected by the international community also. He had earned their trust and confidence in his ways of providing leadership when others had trouble at negotiations for a safe and peaceful world. Some of his most famous quotes are, "Leadership is solving problems. Avoid having your ego so close to your position that when your position fails, your ego goes with it. Great leaders are almost always great simplifiers who can cut through argument, debate, and doubt to offer a solution everybody can understand. Success is the result of perfection, hard work, learning from failure, loyalty, and persistence." General Powell loved people. He cared for the common man. He looked for ways to help before ways to fight. He took the lead in many assaults and accepted the fault if things didn't go as planned. He was a supreme commander who studied his enemy to learn and understand his reason and will to fight. General Powell knew the new threat to America was domestic terrorism led by his own countrymen. These so-called Americans were dissatisfied with many government policies. The attitudes of hate toward immigrants like his family, just seeking a better life, giving all they could as good citizens of the United States. He spoke out against the attempted presidential coup, hate the failed insurrection and the attack on the Capitol. He also supported the Voting Rights Bill and the Build Back America plan, which sits in Congress. General Powell was the best of us. He was intelligent and brave. He supported the best ideas and the best people to lead America in crisis. He spoke his thoughts to help us understand in simple terms the dangers that lie ahead for America. He did this out of love for the people and country he was proud to call home. He could have easily been president, but rejected it. Instead, calling for men, he could support and advise. He was most comfortable as the man, the president, and the country could count on. He served us all well. Though General Prowl gave this world many years of his life, his legacy will live on forever. Now we are saddened and we grieve our dear general. The future is uncertain, but he left us with the challenge to treat each other better and with more respect than ever before. We cannot be safer and better unless we love and trust each other. We, as Americans, are part of the world community, and the world is looking at us in democracy. We must stop the political infighting and name-calling of each other from the lowest to the highest level of our society. This is what the good John was trying to tell us. Somewhere in heaven, General Colin Powell has received the armor and shield of goodness and righteousness from God. He has taken his place among the great men who fought the good fight to save as many lives as they could. Yes, our dear General Powell is at rest until glory calls his name on Judgment Day to answer for the good deeds he has done. Thank you, my brother, for making me proud of the man that history will record as trying to make the world better for all of us. And I thank you for listening.
You have been listening to Ali Joyner and his message to the community. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a station break with music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to begin our theme today, which is Signs of the Time. We'll talk about two particular articles of the week that we have chosen. We want you to shine in, and we want you to come involved by calling in at 818-337-0016. 818-337-0016. Hit 1, and we'll bring you in, and you can share any views or comments or questions you may have. So we're going to start on our theme today when we come back from this station break. This is MPH Radio.
Choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you held your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preachers? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me, with just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors.
That's right. These are the signs of the time. If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose? And does it make a difference? Some say it does, others say it doesn't. What do you think? So let's continue our discussion around theme today, dealing with signs of the times. We selected two articles that we thought would be of interest to our community, because it's something that is being addressed within our communities that has become a very important issue historically. What I'm going to do right now is there's a periodical magazine called Examiner. They have a real interesting article. If you get a chance, we'll actually go and look this article up and take a look at it and try to critique it and understand it. We will give our perspective on it on the basis of our experiences. And we'd like to share with you that you're welcome to call in and share your experiences and perspectives on this particular article as well. This article is titled, Anti-White Bias in the Classroom is Real and It's Toxic. It states, this podcast describes itself as a series dedicated to building a better school system. And what gets in the way, and as this advertising shows, what's getting in the way is merely a truthful blame white people. It is union funding indoctrination at the worst. It is propaganda seeking to indoctrinate teachers across the state that essentially white parents are the root of all evil when it comes to educational problems in our country. Teachers will then pass on this indoctrination to students. These are some of the points that highlight that this particular program does or suggests. That is, that white people are inherently racist and uniquely incapable of treating other people with respect. President Joe Biden's Department of Education is funding school districts to offer free anti-racist therapy for educators and support staff. Indianapolis Public School recently released a resource guide for white teachers and parents developing racial consciousness and moving into action. Teaching while white, racial equality tools, the first step for white women teaching black boys. Why is this type of prejudice permitted in schools? Further, what are Republicans doing to resist such indoctrination? It's a lot more toxic than the mask mandate to have the right up in arms. We'll start right there. And we'd like to engage in some conversation around the general theme of this particular article. One of the things I like to raise with my panelists and I like to raise with the listening audience is that when you look at the history of communities that are non-European and non-white, and when our children had to go to school and continue to go to school, many times they are in classrooms where teachers are predominantly are European. Many times they were in classrooms where books are catered towards a sense of lower than self-esteem or preaching and teaching racism. And most of the time they are getting a history that do not reflect the real reality of history. Brother Emmanuel, when I read this article, when you look at this question, they talk about anti-white bias in the classroom is real and it's toxic. Many parents have asked, what is the nature of the kind of quality education that our people have historically received if it has not been toxic in terms of creating the atmosphere in the minds of many of our children of being feeling inferior, not feeling like they can be all that they can be. A lot of times our children come out of school systems hating themselves and not looking at all the possibilities of things that they could be, but they limit themselves to what they think they could be based upon what they have been taught. So what would be your response to this particular article, Brother Alex?
My response, Mr. Lee, would be years ago, my first child, my oldest son, we had talked a little bit about going to college. And I'm not a parent that's going to force anyone to do anything. I'm not a Tiger Woods dad. I'm not a Joe Jackson. I'm not a father that's going to set the rules straight on what your life should be like. But what upset me was I went in and talked to my son's counselor because we'd only talked about college. But now, as we get toward his senior year, from junior to senior, I started to get, I guess, that father college itch. And the counselor told me there were no scholarships available for my son. Not that his GPA wasn't good enough because he was an honor student. But they told me there was nothing available. No resources that they would even channel to him moving forward. No advice they could give me on what colleges for him to attend, what direction that he needed to go. And I'm like, but you've had him for 11 years. You've seen his transcripts from year to year. And we sat there in locked debate over what my son's future could be. And then the counselor got a little upset with me, and she said, why worry about even sending him to college? Now this, though it was in the 90s, late 90s, I couldn't believe it. And then I had a counselor of color come in and basically say the same thing. We're from a small southern community. What does it mean for him to go to a major college? His best thing would be community college or to a HCBU. Anything beyond that, we don't recommend it. How can you not recommend an honors student to go forward? But that's what we have to suffer in our school system as African Americans. And I've sat with many counselors because I sent the remaining three kids to college also. And I had debates with those. And yes, I sat at many PTA meetings because that's where it all starts, parents being involved. That got me more involved to move forward with that PTA to find out what they were saying, what the counselors were saying, what the principals were saying, what the teachers were saying, what was being taught. And it got me so involved that I decided to what? Come and substitute myself later on. Because I wanted these kids to understand that the most important thing is that they could go beyond the community they were in. They could go all over the world. And they didn't have to be in a United States service uniform. They could be in any type of clothing that they wanted. and they could represent their country well as doctors, lawyers, engineers, whatever. They could do it. But first, they had to get away from the school system they were in. Because even myself, growing up in a small town like that, the opportunities were not the most gracious in the world. So sometimes we have to look beyond our area of convenience and move forward. And then we have to stay on top of our school system. It's who we elect into our community as school boards, because they're entrusting all these different programs to teach our kids, to say that this is good, that is bad. This book good to read, this bad book ain't. We putting this in, this type of sport in, we're not going to have that one. All the decisions are being made without a lot of people of color's input. Because I've said at many PTA meetings, and I was the only person of color there. So when we talk about being engaged, if the other side is not there, then the other side takes over, just plain and simple. If you're not there to show your face in the place, to be accountable and heard from, express your opinions and ideas, even though they're voted down, ridiculed, and tossed out the door, at least you got an opportunity to your mind. Someone years later may bring that same thing up and change things. Change always doesn't happen the first moment it's implemented. Sometimes it takes years for things to get done. But it's the fight. It's the fight. Just like in the civil rights, it's the fight, it's the marching, it's the preaching, it's the togetherness, it's the organization. It's so much got to be brought together to change these views. Because, yes, our system, school systems all over this country have integrated certain ideas that they want to follow. When I look at the dismal grades sometimes, that are coming out of public schools. Well, how much of that sometimes is not only environment, hungry kids that don't have no food at home to eat that morning before going to school, broken homes, parents that are not educated themselves and barely care about where their kids are going. As they say, it does take a community to raise a child. So we have to look at other avenues to help our children, because that is the building block of our future, these children. Because one day they're going to be governors, they're going to be senators, and they're even going to be president. And if they do not have the best interest at heart of their fellow countrymen, then there's a problem. So now I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Brother Alex. Sister Susie, I'm going to ask you your perspective on this article, because one of the things I drew from this article is really it's a form of African people resistance to what they have in Canada since their whole inception of coming here. That is to say, if you look at some of the items that they complain about in this article, and they had defined it as being anti-racist and toxic, which I don't think it is due to the fact that, one, if you talk to any good African psychologist, they would tell you, or any psychologist, if they're honest and fair, they would tell you that learning comes in different styles and forms. Everyone does not learn the same way. Some is hand-on. Some kids may learn hand-on. Some kids may not. For example, for many years when we was in school, most African children were taught that when you speak and articulate information, you should never move your hand and you should stay still. This was the methodology that we were taught to perform and act in that capacity. When you come to find out later on, talking to educators and African psychologists and what have you, they will come and tell you that culturally, African people have a different way of dissecting and checking in information and expressing it. It's a cultural difference between how we may receive certain information articulated versus other cultures. So this issue of expressing yourself through movements in your hands, your eyes, or what have you, you know how Africans talk when we express ourselves through emotions using our body, it's not a negative, good, or bad thing. It's just a reflection of this is how a group or a group of people may respond based upon their cultural upbringing. But in the European world, they see that as being bad, being evil, and not to do that, which means that they are telling you you cannot be a part of yourself. That's the one. Number two, we also know there are many educators, many teachers that comes into the classroom already with their biases and their perception of how they view African children and African kids. And based upon the biases, they will act it out and may not give that child or African children the best advice, the best attention, the best means of trying to get the best out of them. And they may and may not be conscious of it. So therefore, I don't see no issue, Susie, and to the listening audience, of making sure that there is a need for European teachers to be more conscious of certain forms of styles of learning and developing as it comes to as it relates to dealing with the African community. Their email males and females have different reactions between and among each other based upon different geographical, racial, and biological makeups. So all these things has to be taken into consideration. And I don't see anything anti-white or anti-bias about that. I don't see anything. And this whole question just to raise the issue of whites being incapable of treating other people with respect, argue that based upon the institutionalization of racism and how it permeates itself in society, consciously and unconsciously, many of us, and particularly those who have belonged to the class that has been in power, may have truly well been impacted on internalizing that, you know, you are not worthy to be seen as your equal. We see this every day through policies, to individual behaviors, to the mass media. We see all these things. So what I'm saying in terms of these points that they have identified as being racist, I see it as points of interest where African people notice these are the things that are taking place in the education field, and we need to change them and need to address them. And to not address this, that means that you will continue to go along the status quo, continue to let our children to function in conditions that is not best suited for them being and receiving the best quality of information and education that they can receive and for them to be themselves. Your response, Susie, to this article, and maybe to some of the things that I mentioned.
Okay. One thing I said, basically nowadays, according to the article, you have a lot of liberals. And basically, since they're the ones that sort of went along with this article on building a better school system, I think what we need to do, we need to get with all the school systems and let's get with the boards. Basically, as a whole, most of the boards are of non-white nationality or whatever. If we could all just somehow, it used to be back in the day you had conferences. I think we need to start with having a conference and bringing out a lot of these issues that is affecting the black and brown student. Because the thing of it is they don't get together like they used to and really talk about things. Because when you talk to some of the kids in the communities and they tell you the things that are going on, even the adults, their parents, they're not aware of it. They think everything is fine and stuff. So I think if it was me, I would start with the actual school boards and start holding some conferences and have these Caucasians mixed along with the other brown and black individuals. And that's really, they need to really sit down and talk about it. So, because they really, I don't think they really know the impact of how they teach and what they are doing to the black and brown students. And that's where I would want to start trying to make a change.
Thank you, Susan. You're listening to MPH Radio. Our theme today is Signs of the Time. And we're discussing this interesting article comes from the Zemna, titled Anti-White Bias in the Classroom is Real and It's Toxic. Or really, is it toxic to raise with your teachers that they need some sense of racial consciousness when it comes to people of non-European children from non-European community? Is it toxic to talk about this whole question of racial equity tools? There are certain tools that we need to have available to make sure it is applied across the board when you're dealing with students of different race and ethnicity. Is there a difference in terms of relationships between how little African boys may view themselves when they interact with white women? Many psychologists, and particularly African psychologists, said there is a form of communication. Some is positive and some may not be positive. And educators of all colors need to be aware of it. Anytime when African people make suggestions in terms of how to better create a better condition for us to function in the academic community, there are always seen to be a resentment from other forces. We'd like to know what you think about it. So right now we have this caller. We've been waiting patiently. We're going to bring this caller in, get his perspective on what we have been discussing. We will bring in caller 6057. 6057, we'd like to welcome you to MPH Radio. And we'd like to hear your views and your perspective on this whole question of whether or not some of the demands or suggestions that have been raised within the education institution where we're asking certain issues and conditions to be addressed and look at, is that being toxic and is that being anti-white? Call it 6057.
I don't think it's being anti-white at all. I think it's being pro-African or pro, you know, yourself. I was, you know, based on some of the comments that were made by your panelists earlier, I want to give an example of how pervasive this problem has been. Malcolm X, when he was a teenager, I think one of a favorite teacher of his had asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. He said he wanted to be a lawyer. This European and teacher told him to be realistic about being the N-word. And told him to learn how to do something with his hands instead. As a result of that experience, Malcolm lost all interest in education and got so discouraged that he started hanging out in the streets and started becoming a gangster. And, over the decades, this took place about in the late 30s. I wonder over the decades how many Africans or Latinx people that has happened to over the decades, where the parents were not there to to monitor what was going on in the school system. unlike Mr. Joyner, who monitored carefully what was going on in the school system. Unfortunately, because a lot of Africans, are working multiple jobs in some cases, they don't have time to give that level of attention to what happens in the school system. So, a lot of our youth are victimized by the perceptions that Europeans have of them. And they don't get the kind of encouragement that's needed for them to excel to the best of their ability. And, Susie's right. Maybe having conferences in which we discuss this sort of thing may be helpful in that regard. Because, in a lot of cases, our youth are being taught by people that don't have an understanding of our culture. And that's what's toxic, because there's no telling how many Africans that have been discouraged from pursuing their dreams or aspirations because of, the perceptions the European teachers had of them. So, I think it's important that we get organized and help each other, where we can. And I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Carlo. Your comments are well taken. Right now, we'd like to make our transition as we talk about signs of the time to our second article of the week, which comes from the periodical Weekly Roundup, October 23rd, 2021. Now, this particular article was done by the Pew Research Center. The Pew Research Center is an institution that does a lot of national research on all kind of social policies and issues that are going on around the world, and we're also particularly in the context of the United States of America. Now, when we talk about signs of the time, I think this particular article is indicative of this theme tonight. If you get a chance, we ask you to go to Weekly Roundup on October 23rd periodical and check out this article titled, Citizens in Advanced Economies Want Significant Changes to Their Political System. Let me read that one again. It titles, Citizens in Advanced Economies Want Significant Changes to Their Political Systems. Normally, from my understanding, when they talk about so-called advanced economies, they really talk about a lot of times, you're talking about Western nations, the U.S., England, France, Germany, the European dominations at this point in time. Now, it states that as citizens around the world continue to grapple with the pandemic and the changes it has brought to their everyday lives, many also express a desire for political change. Across 17 advanced economies surveyed this spring, a medium of 56% believe their political system needs major changes or needs to be completely reformed. But sizable shares in some public have little or no confidence that their system can be changed effectively. That is very interesting. In terms of the medium, you're talking about the average across the board, 56% of the people believe that their political system, as well as the economic system, need change, major changes. But at the same time, they don't have the faith and confidence that the system can effectively be changed. What does that say to you, Brother Alex, when we talk about the signs of the time? Are everything as rosy as the news make out to be based upon looking at these factors? Alex, your response to this article.
Yes. Again, when we look at our stage on the world, and we look at, we need change here. The rest of the world looks at us because we became the most wealthiest nation. The great superpower. Everyone seems that America is something special because they want to come here. You wouldn't have 25, 10, 100,000 people at a border waiting to come in, being turned around, sent back, saying they can't make it because of certain views. But America, just like most of the old colonial powers, because that's where it all, we have to look at, that's where it all started. When the takeover of the indigenous people's land all over the world, South America, Asia, Africa. When you take someone else's land, do you think they're going to be happy? I'm not happy now 400 years later here in America of what happened to my ancestors. I'll never be happy. But though that I'm not happy, I know change needs to come. And that's what we need to, and I don't really want to say this word because sometimes it's interpreted the wrong way. Because we are in a struggle, a continuing struggle, to make sure that the world realizes that we're even human beings, because our Constitution said that we were property. Other constitutions in other countries have degraded their people also. That's how they keep a hold to South Africa. If we look at what's on a world stage, not just in our backyard, but we look at the whole perception of that first idea of colonialism, taking other people's property and profiting from it. That's where it all began. That's where it all started. And yes, people are not happy. So politically wise, electing the leaders of the people when there's a majority of one type of person, but you have a small majority that wants to hang on the power because of past colonialism ideas. That's the problem. And it will be a continual problem for as long as this world exists. Because someone has it in their ideas that they should be superior to someone else, that they should answer to them. Not being fair, not being equal, not being just, not being right, but being superior to someone else, to make laws to disenfranchise others, to take property, to take homes, to increase taxes on, to take away the right to vote for the individual of their so-called countrymen, has spread all over the world, basically through past colonialism. So I thought the article was astounding in a lot of different ways. And like I said, it stirred up a lot of passion. And I'll turn this mic back over to you.
Thank you, Alex. Susie, I'd like to get your response. Before I get your response and I listen to the audience, we'd like for y'all to weigh in on this. Let me just read a few other things as relates to this particular article. It says, dissatisfaction with functioning of democracy is linked to concerns about the economy, the pandemic, and social divisions. Dissatisfaction with functioning of democracy is linked to concerns about the economy, the pandemic, and social divisions. Now, they talk about, okay, release of some of the countries in terms of what percentage of the people are dissatisfied with their, not only the political system, but also the economy. And let me just give you some breakdown. When they look at the United States, they stated that 85% of people were dissatisfied with the political system and need a drastic change. And 66% of the people were dissatisfied with the status of the economic well-being or the economic reality of the United States. That's when among the U.S. people. In Spain, they had 86% of the people dissatisfied with their political system, and 83% people dissatisfied with the economic reality, what was going on in that country. You look at those in Greece, 80% were dissatisfied with their political system, and 84% were dissatisfied with their economic system. So if you look at these different countries, it seems like folks are totally dissatisfied in terms of political structure, economic functioning of that society. What do you make of this, Susan? What is your take from this article?
The only thing with this article, and you talk about change in the system, and you talking about a worldwide change in the worldwide system, I don't think it would never happen. Just thinking about what's been happening just here in the last several years and everything, you can see how divided we are and everything. What we really need to do is set out and try to get a medium between everyone, even just here, before we can even looking at the whole world as a whole. And the thing about it, when you think about it, most people aren't for change, regardless of what you could have a good idea, but people have built up in themselves, they believe certain things, and they're not going to change. So it would be nice if everybody could get under the same political system, but there's no way in the world that that's going to ever happen.
Okay. To our listening audience, this is MPH Radio. We're discussing signs of the time. This is our theme. We're looking at a phenomenon where a survey was recently done. And from this survey, it raises some very interesting points that were done by the Pew Research Center. One of the things it shows is that if you look at Canada, 47% of its population is totally dissatisfied with their political system, and 46% of their people are totally dissatisfied with their economy. If you look at Belgium, 72% of their people are dissatisfied with their political system, and 51% of their people are dissatisfied with their economy. If you go to Japan, 66% of their people are dissatisfied with their political system, and 61% of their people are totally dissatisfied with the economy. They want drastic, major changes. But one of the realities they all find themselves to be under is they are not sure that how you bring about the change, and that this particular change will not come from within the context of the system as it presently is constructed. So what can we do? What do we do? So we'd like to hear your views and your perspectives, and you can do that by calling in 818-337-0016. I'll go to caller 6057 and get his perspective on this phenomenon. Caller, you have heard some of the statistics by the various countries around the world, most of the European countries. In the U.S., they are totally dissatisfied with their political structure, their political system, and totally dissatisfied with the economic system. Don't seem like a jolly world to me, Carla. It don't seem like a world of democracy to me, Carla, where the people's calling for one thing and the system's not meeting that the desire and their interest. What you make up this particular survey, Carla?
Yes. What I draw from this survey is that people want fundamental change in their political and economic systems, even in these capitalist countries. And in other words, to put it plainly, People want revolution, but they're afraid because the capitalist forces have got the people afraid of the term revolution and the term socialism. You know, they don't know how to go about it. And it seems like what is called for is organization and political education of the masses of the people. And capitalist societies teach people to fear socialism, even though, based upon the survey, that's what a majority of the people want, which makes sense because socialism is control of the economy by the workers, that are responsible for the production of everything. But let's see. But because they're afraid, they don't see a way out of the current system. But it is clear from the survey that a majority of the people want fundamental changes in their political and economic systems. And to me, that means that that even though they're taught to hate the term, people are looking towards socialism more and more. And the thing that's lacking is the organization and political education of the masses of the people. And I think that's once that's achieved, then people can work more consciously toward fundamental changes in their society than exists presently.
Thank you, callers. Let's go to our next caller and get any comments or questions they may have. They've been waiting very patiently. We can come to this caller. Caller, your last four numbers are 4298. 4298. Your comments or any questions you may have, caller, based upon what you have heard so far on this program. Caller 4298.
Thank you. Thank you. I think Brother Anthony is correct in his assessment of the situation. Socialism is the answer, and these people are spontaneously gravitating towards socialism. It's just that they need the consciousness, the education, and organization to actually achieve it. And politics determines economics, always has and always will. And so there's no mystery that when people are dissatisfied with the economy, they're dissatisfied with the political system, and when they're dissatisfied with political system, they're dissatisfied with the economy because they're so intricately connected together. We need people who are politically conscious in power, and right now we have people who are out for their own interests money motivated people who just want to get in office and stay in office and do what they can to maintain themselves and their lifestyle, and they're not interested in the vast majority of the people. And so I think it's interesting that the advanced, so-called advanced countries are dissatisfied because that the capitalism is a vicious system, and they should be dissatisfied. I would like to not leave Colin Powell untouched, because Colin Powell made a big mistake in terms of directing the masses, weapons of mass destruction, and pursuing the Iraq war. He was part of the war machine at that point, and he functioned as a as an integral part of that war machine, because he made it possible for that invasion, that shock and awe, which was nothing but open tyranny of finance capital, which is fascism. And so he regretted it later, and that's good. But we can never forget that. Millions of people have died, and this war machine must be stopped. Thank you.
Thank you, caller, for your response to the participation in today's program. And I'll come back to Alex and Susie. We'd like to get your perspective on this issue, which is a continuation of the survey, which I find really interesting, because some people believe that it's the way you do things that would dictate the happiness of the people. And what the stat says, when you talk about democracy, it said many are satisfied with the way democracy is working, but views vary. They gave us a stat based upon how people feel about this whole concept of democracy or functioning under democracy. For example, they have a range of not at all satisfied to not too satisfied. Now, when we go down to countries and look at what percentage of people that fall in the range, not at all satisfied to not too satisfied dealing with democracy, the way democracy is being practiced and functioning. In Canada, they have 33 fall between the range of not at all satisfied to not too satisfied. In U.S., you have a whopping 58% of the people are not satisfied at all or not too satisfied in terms of the way democracy is being applied in the United States. In Sweden, you have 21% not at all satisfied to not too satisfied in how democracy is being carried out in Sweden. In Germany, you have 34% of the population is not at all satisfied to not too satisfied. But when you go down to Belgium, France, Spain, Italy, and Greece, they range from 50 to 70% of the population not at all or not too satisfied in terms of democracy as they live it, as they see it. So this whole notion about, you know, democracy is in a healthy state, these numbers don't suggest that. Brother Alex, what is it about these people not dissatisfied with their democracy? What can you draw from that, Brother Alex?
Well, Mr. Lee, I would say sometimes you can't satisfy all the people all the time. When you try, you got a problem. But the thing is, because in a country that calls itself having the right to vote, and the idea, one man, one vote, the idea that through voting can change things. We're not looking at kings and queens and monarchies and dictatorships, different things like that, because those are not democracies. When we're talking about being fair and equal to everyone, that's a great suggestion. It was a good thing, as what they called it, in America. And I've heard many politicians say that this was a great experiment, the United States of America. Look at the Constitution. We all word it in some paragraph. Then the worst of words in other paragraphs. That's not democracy at work. If all men are created equal, all men have rights, then why deny any man? If all men should have the right to vote, why deny any man? That's not democracy. We live in a world that sees the wealthy and the privileged first, the middle class and the poor last. We have caste systems everywhere. How do you make everyone happy when nobody is on the same playing field? Not everybody can be the quarterback. Somebody's got to stand up there and take the hits on the offensive line. That's what we subject our poor to, taking all the hits. Then our wide receivers and running backs are compensated well at the middle class. That's just giving you a sports idea. That is what we have to look at, where the money starts and where the money goes. If a country takes in hundreds of millions of dollars from goods it trades with, do the people benefit? It's not democracy. We got too many poor people right here in America. Don't even have a place to call home tonight. And we live in a democracy. No, we have a long way to go, as the whole world does. Better health care. Yes. Got to reform it. Got to. Every country on this world, there are better health care places in the world today, countries in the world today. Free health care. Is it the best or is it just good? Money makes a difference. You get the best health care, best money. How do we reform all this? Something that has started years and years and years ago. We can sit at the table and talk all day long. There are many conferences going on right now, climate control and everything we can imagine. People are talking. Ideas are being floated about. But will they be done? Because they got to get back to Congress that are led by individuals who, as the gentleman says, and as in this country, they want to retain their own power. They want to stay right where they at. Do you really think they're thinking about their constituents? From state to state, if we're united 50 states, then what's good for Georgia is good for North Carolina. What's good for California is good for New York. That's the way to bring things about, inequality. The masses of people and the masses of money, when they finally co-mingle and say, this is fair, a fair wage, a fair trip to the doctor, a fair trip to the drugstore to get the prescriptions you need, then things will be brought back on a better level. Because right now, as in the world today, yeah, these percentages are terrible in how people feel about their own governing body. Because it's not so much of what the president does. It's these senates and parliaments and different ones. They're the ones that calls the shots for the people. And again, I go back to you. If you got the vote is who you voting for. It's the most important thing that you can do. And I excuse for a second, if you don't mind, Mr. Lee, please, Virginians, go to the polls on Tuesday. Please go. Because that makes the decision for quite a few years in your future. So vote your conscience. Don't vote the color. Vote your conscience. You know what's right. Just as all is the whole world, as we'll, you just told us, all is dissatisfaction. Vote your conscience and pray that these men do what they say they're going to do. Because right now it's just open promises until they get into the seat. Once they get in the seat, hold them accountable. We need to hold people accountable. If not, organize and get someone else in there that we believe will carry out what we need. But right now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to turn it back over to you and more callers because I'm waiting to hear more views.
Thank you, Alex, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a station break with music with a message. And when we come back, we're going to give our final thoughts for today's program, which is part one of a two-part series, Signs of the Times. This is MPH Radio.
One, two, three, four. Thank you.
Radio. Yes, this is a ball of confusion, and we're going to try to diffuse this confusion by learning our history. Brother Malcolm once taught us that history is best to reward those who research. And as we look at signs of the times, we'll see that based upon the Pew Research report, there's a large discontent in terms of one's reality today as relates to this question of democracy, political expression, and economic independence. And these are just signs of the time in which MPH is speaking truth to power and the powerless. Today is the first part of a two-part series, Signs of the Time, and we will continue the discussion 2 weeks from now, November the 13th, same time, same place, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. What we're going to do right now, we're going to go to some of our participants and just ask them to give us their final thoughts on today's program as it relates to our theme, Signs of the Time. And we will go to caller number 4298, caller 4298. Your final thoughts for tonight, caller 4298.
Yes, well, I think it's been a good educational program, and I appreciated the toxicity of the in the classroom in terms of countering white supremacy and institutionalized racism. We have it's just no more less than reactionary whites who don't want to be exposed as the racist system we live in and the institutionalized racism that exists, and they want to overlook it and not out of sight, out of mind, so to speak. And this is a problem. Like I said, it's been a great show, and I appreciate being on. Thank you.
Caller Redacted, thank you for your participation in today's program. And we now go to caller 6057. Caller 6057, your thoughts for today's program.
Yes. I thought today's program was very informative, and I thought all the participants did an excellent job of presenting an analysis of what's going on in our communities today. And I think we need more programs like this that put current events in their appropriate context so that people can find solutions to the problems that they're dealing with and not feel so isolated, like they're the only ones that have this problem. And I think it was very informative, and I learned a lot from it, and I look forward to the second part of this program.
And you too, caller, we'd like to thank you for your contribution to today's program. And we'll go to Susie, MPH Radio. Your final thoughts for today, Susie.
Yes, my final thought for today is we definitely do need to build a better school system, because with the pandemic and the changes with the educational system and how our kids are being penalized in a sense because of it, because they're taking additional days and everything off and stuff and not really considering. Once you start a child learning the process, you want to continue that process. So we definitely are in the signs of the times, and hopefully we can get together and come to a resolution where everybody benefits from the educational system.
Thank you, Susan, for your contribution to today's program. And Alex, your final thoughts for today's program. Can you hear me,
yes,
Brother Alex?
Yes, yes, I
yes,
can hear you.
Your final thoughts.
My final thoughts for the day, because I've been truly appreciative of this program, because it covers some issues here that needed to be covered. But, Mr. Lee, I expect no less of you. You always find ways to touch what needs to be touched. And if we have to push buttons that need to be pushed, we got to push them. And I thank you for this, because our community speaks, hollers, screams, shouts for better ways that we can progress and move forward. Because we've been moving backwards for too long. And backwards means a campaign slogan I heard quite a few years ago, make America great again. It was about the worst slogan I could ever hear, make America great again. No, that's something I don't want to ever think that America was good in my childhood, because I know it wasn't, because it was segregated. People fought. People died. People were lynched. People went through an awful lot to get where they were today. No, let's make America's future better and brighter. Let's go forward, America, not what we used to be. Make a stronger America, more beautiful America, more trusting America, more fair America, more democratic America. As the Constitution promised. But again, that's what we got to look at, is how we can change things to make them better. And Mr. Lee, you're on that road, that right road, and I appreciate that. And if you can just give me 1 second, one person is here not to defend himself, and that is General Powell. He made a mistake as his commander-in-chief and intel gave him some instruction, told him what to say, told him what to do, and he carried it out like most good soldiers do. When they say take that hill, you take that hill. No questions asked. Whether it was right or wrong, the dear general said, I was wrong. The intel was wrong. What I did was wrong to my fellow countrymen. He knew thousands had been killed for a lie. He owned it up to it. And that's what we have to do as America today. What's in the past is in the past. No, we would never forget. But we have to move on and look for solutions that it don't keep happening over and over and over again. And that we ever return back to the chains and bonds of slavery. Because that's the way America is headed if we don't take care of our dear freedoms that can be gone in an instant. So I thank you, Mr. Lee.
And we thank you, Alex, for your contribution to today's program. To our listening audience and underserved communities and our people of goodwill, you've been listening to MPH Radio. It's a bi-weekly program on Missing Pages of History. And we come on every other Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. You can catch part two of this program, Signs of the Times, on November the 13th. Please spread the word. If you'd like to have copies of this show or past shows, please feel free to email us your comments as well. By email us or contacting us at mphradio@yahoo.com. We also remind you that we have rescheduled our tour to Cuba to July the 23rd to the 31st, 2022, this upcoming summer. So please contact your friends. Let's go there and learn a lot about its history and help us fill in those missing pages as well. So again, put on your calendar that we're encouraging all our friends, supporters of MPH Radio and Missing Pages of History to come and join our delegation to Cuba from July the 23rd to the 31st. And last but not least, because of the pandemic, we have put our activities on hold because we're trying to be responsible. But hopefully, you know, as things get better, we'll become more active in the community. But at this point in time, we want to err by being cautious and not to bring any more harm and destruction to our communities and to any particular child, youth, or individual. So on that note, we'd like to thank you. We need your support. We need your participation. Email us. And we can tell you how you can do this. So until next time, we just would like to remind you that while history, you will never understand your present reality, nor will you be able to create a future map to bring the kind of changes that you desire. So in order to do that, you must go back in our history, and in the process of going back in our history, you can only do this by not only learning that history, but filling in those histories that have not been omitted in our history book. So come and join Missing Pages of History, and let's continue to fill in those missing pages of history. We see you on November 13th, and remember, we are here for all of us. We see you on the 13th of November. Thank you for listening.
ahead. Let's start with a good bed. So real, but it's so sad. And while we burn in this incense, we gon' pray for the innocent. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about Chi-Town. Let's talk about Gaza. Let's talk about Israel. Right now with Israel. Let's talk Nigeria and the mass hysteria. Yeah, our souls are brought together so that we can love each other, brother. We are here. We're not so far for education. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about our part. My heart touch your heart. Let's talk about living. Had enough of dying. That's what we all about. Let's do more giving. Do more forgiving. Yeah, our souls are brought together so that we can love each other. Since we are here.
Stand up for your rights. can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you
gonna
do?
Stand up for our rights.
Yeah, yeah,
so you better get
up, stand up
in the morning.
Give it up,
stand up for your rights.
Stand up right now.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Get up, stand up,
get up, stand up,
stand up
for your rights.
Get up, stand up,
get up, stand up,
stand up
for your rights.